You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. The word sapsap, directly translated from Laotian, means delicious, delicious. And sapsap owner Alex Hanasakta strives not only for good taste, but community outreach. Hanasakta learned the traditions of Lao cooking from his parents, who used food as a way to connect with neighbors when they settled in Burlington, Wisconsin, after fleeing Laos as war refugees. His company Sapsap was founded in 2015 as an expansion of its predecessor Mama's Egg Rolls. And Hanasakta continues to utilize the power of food to build community through wholesale products as well as curbside pop-ups in partnership with local nonprofits. Hanasakta joins Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to share more about his family's story and starts by describing his take on Lao cuisine.
We're kind of like, I hate the word fusion, but we kind of put flavors from Laos into some of our meals, but sometimes we do serve like authentic stuff. But the description of Lao food would be like really earthy, fishy, fresh, herbaceous or herby, like a lot of fresh herbs, a lot of fresh vegetables. And one thing that separates Lao cuisine than other like Southeast Asian countries is we're known for this super concentrated fish sauce called badak. So you get your filtered versions, and we make a non-filtered version where it's, it sounds like it would smell funky. It kind of does, but it actually has this like really sweet, like herbaceous smell to it. So it's like a super concentrated anchovy paste essentially that doesn't smell weird, even though it's rotten fish in there.
Well, we'll take your word for it since we can't really translate that over radio. Yeah. But, you know, it sounds like with the ingredients, the flavor profiles, you know, there's also comes a tradition of farm foraging, using fresh local ingredients. And then you carry this out through your daily operations, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the herbs we get, the veg we use, the roots we use, you can't really find them at your local grocery store. Some Asian markets carry them, but I'm still very lucky to have my mom around, and she has like this huge kaffir lime leaf tree. So I go over there whenever I need it. She's taught me a lot on, you know, what mushrooms that she knows of that are so good, from leeks to chives to, you know, whatever grows around the area that she has experience with. The cool thing about this saw is we've been doing this for so long. I didn't even know it was cool until I got into the food world, right? Like my friends would always be like, what are your parents doing foraging? Like, what the hell is that? So growing up, it was interesting seeing kind of like that cultural difference growing up in Burlington, Wisconsin, because we were kind of like a refugee family that brought back foraging and gardening and, you know, processing their own animals right in their backyard. So we kind of brought that over here with us in the States.
Yeah, so tell us a bit about your family and your father in particular, about what brought you as refugees to Burlington, Wisconsin.
Yeah, so we, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the secret war in Laos, but during the Vietnam War, there was another war going on in Laos, kind of like a civil war with the Pathet Lao and the Royal Lao Army. My dad fought with the Royal Lao Army, which was the side that the Americans fought with, essentially. So they were backing the Americans in the war. As soon as America pulled out, you know, everyone was meant to fend for themselves. So like the Royal Lao Army, the people that fought alongside Americans were kind of, you know, I hate to say taken advantage of, but they were on a hit list to be, whether it was a re-education camp or they were going to be executed. So my dad escaped to Thailand in one of the refugee camps called Uban. And that's where I was born, in Uban, Thailand. The oldest aunt in my family, my mom's sister, came to the States first. And she got us a sponsor from Burlington, Wisconsin, to sponsor us to come over here. That's why we ended up in Burlington.
You know, I imagine your family, I'm sure, faced a lot of prejudice against Asians, especially after Vietnam War, an obvious language barrier, being shifted from one refugee place to another. And yet your parents and your family found a way to connect with people. So how did your dad and your mother's love of food and their hands-on approach and watching them, how did that shape your view?
Yeah, I mean, it was literally the thing that was a positive being around like our community, because it was like low income families, predominantly Caucasian, low income. So there was a lot of racism going on. But every time my mom would make these egg rolls, like they loved her. So that was kind of like the starter of it all, the conversation starter. And so we were known for having really good egg rolls. So that opened up the conversation to what are you guys? Where do you guys come from? What happened? So it was that, the food alone had so much power behind like our communication with our neighbors.
And did you find yourself always immersed in helping your parents in the kitchen? A lot of immigrant families or refugee families, the children kind of have sometimes a desire to stray away from it or be Americanized or turn away from their traditional foods to not be judged. How did you view that growing up?
I hated it, to be honest. Well, we would cook chickens. We would process it a chicken in our own kitchen, and it was embarrassing because all our neighbors like, what the hell? This is what you do in for your childhood. It was weird because we had no other Lao neighbors that we could communicate that with. I mean, they were all up in the north side of Milwaukee or Elgin or Rockford, but we had no neighboring Lao neighbors. But yeah, it was weird, like trying to explain what we do, why we do it that way. There'd be like plucked chickens in the sink, and my neighborhood friends would be like, "What the hell is that?" It's chicken, but it's like we just process it by ourselves rather than get it from the store.
So, how did you go from hating how your family prepped food to now it's your livelihood. It's the way you connect with others.
Yeah, I guess when you're a kid, you don't really think about that besides being cool, right? So, as I got older, I realized like everything started connecting. Everything started making more sense to me of why we were here. Even when I was a kid, I didn't even really know why we were here. Because I remember my dad always saying, "This isn't our home. This isn't our home." And I'd always be like, "Then where is home?" But as I got older, I started questioning more and like starting doing more research with my parents or asking them more questions and just understanding like the whole scope of, what they went through, the adaptation coming to America, that inspired like the whole Sap Sap, the whole Mama's Egg Rolls. And I was like, we could really do something with this and share our story through the food.
And your dad especially taught you a lot about the power of food when it comes to building community. So, can you tell us a bit about his story?
So he was actually pretty well known in Laos. So he was really well respected. So he was one of the first people that came here, and he helped a bunch of people come here from Laos, help them get acclimated, help them get their driver's license. We always have like a, we say uncle, but he was not really blood related that lived with us. So we'd always have one of those guys like stay at our house, and my dad would help them get on their feet. And we always had a rotating door, people coming in left and right just to get on their feet, and my dad would take them in. As far as our neighbors, my dad, again, like it was food. He communicated through food. He barely spoke English, so it was always weird, like seeing my dad sit with our neighbor, just like like trying to communicate, but they'd sit for hours having beer and food. So.
Well, and your dad, as a veteran, he was never seen as that since he was, or at least in the US, because he wasn't officially part of US Armed Forces. And he struggled with the same things, PTSD, et cetera, that a lot of Vietnam vets did. And seeing that growing up, or maybe recognizing what he was going through as you got older, how did that affect what you're trying to do today? Because you do a lot of partnerships, and it's much more than about cooking and selling food for you.
I mean, that's with working with the VOW, the Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin, that was like kind of seeing what my dad went through was the inspiration behind that. Seeing what he went through with his PTSD and not getting the help, just seeing it firsthand what someone goes through was so powerful for me to try to help out the best I can with the veterans in at Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin. And they're just not veterans, right? They're just not people that signed up and didn't go to war, and they're actually people that went through combat, saw some crazy stuff, came back here and went through some more crazy stuff. So they're like homeless veterans, and they're not like, someone that just signed up for the army that never went to service. Like these guys actually went through hell and back.
partnering with Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin and connecting through what perhaps an outside perspective would view as opposing sides, considering the climate that each of the veterans went through. How do you find that connecting this way helps not just them, but you? You know, do you have memorable interactions that continue to fuel why you're doing this?
Well, I just go off my experience, you know, seeing the power of food as a young kid, kind of break down barriers and start conversations. Seeing my dad do it, like our neighbor was like an old Vietnam vet too, and he just thought we were all Viet Cong until my dad really broke down the story to him, you know. And as cliche as it sounds, it all started with a bite of food.
With SAPSAP, you were just about getting ready to open a brick and mortar location, and then of course the coronavirus pandemic hit. So you've since pivoted to curbside out of a shared kitchen space in Racine, and from the looks of it, have really made the best out of a massive roadblock. How, you know, at first, how did you take having to shift this way, and how has your perspective changed to dealing with the needs of the immediate future right now?
Yeah, it was weird. We didn't know what to expect. We were actually gonna, we were doing a trial at Crossroads Collective in Milwaukee, and that's when COVID hit. So like we invested all this money, then COVID happened. And I was like, what do I do now? You know, I have to make some kind of money, lost some money with Crossroads. So yeah, ultimately we gave it a shot. We didn't, I was like, I have a restaurant license here. Why don't we just do curbside and try it out? And ever since then it kind of took off, and it wasn't even planned to take off like that. So we were just rolling with the punches with the momentum, and things got a little crazy as far as execution, but we adapted. And right now, looking forward, I still don't think I want to open up a brick and mortar. I still like to do curbside because you never know what's happening with COVID. And just for the safety of our fans, like we don't want any interactions with any people coming in. So we're just trying to be safe as we can with our curbside. And we're working on some wholesale projects too. So yeah, that's what we're currently doing right now.
Do you think you would have been able to have the same impact or opportunities that you're doing now with partnerships and curbside had, you know, things, quote, gone to plan?
Yeah, it definitely was a positive for sure, the curbside. But like, who knows what would have happened with the momentum of our Wisconsin Foodie episode coming out, with, you know, all these projects we had going on and these private dinners we had lined up. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you could, it's definitely a positive.
If someone is just learning about your story and, you know, perhaps haven't even had a single dish of Laotian food, what do you want people not just to taste, but to experience when they come and have some of your food?
You know, I want them to, well, one, know, like, it comes from a lot of struggle. It comes from a deep-rooted history. But I also want them to be like, wow, that is some good, you know, whatever we're making. But more importantly, the message of what happened in Laos, why we're here, why refugees are here. And I think that's really important right now, to accept or find similarities more than we do differences in the whole state of things right now. And, you know, I think if we can do that at SAPSAP with food, I mean, I think that's very powerful, that where we came from, why we came from there, and what we're doing right now as a business.
So the foundations of your recipes are from your mother and father and traditional Laotian cuisine, with, of course, a flair of your own input. But what does your mom think of what you've been developing and the growth of SAPSAP today?
She used to be super pessimistic, right? So negative, you know, your quintessential crazy Asian mom. Be a lawyer, be an engineer, and I totally did not fall in those shoes. But no, she's pretty excited about the media we're getting, the business we're doing, just the attention we're getting. It boggles my mind too, because like I never expected for us to get all this attention and do so well. we're working with other great people, like we're working with Jennifer Casey from Fondy's Farmers Market. I just met with her, and we were part of their annual dinner and meeting all the great chefs there. I mean, even stuff like that, like meeting new friends and opening up new doors, is very cool for me.
Alex Hanasakta is the owner and lead developer of SAPSAP. Their latest curbside pop-up will take place tomorrow in collaboration with the Iron Grate Barbecue Company in Milwaukee. The event will help raise funds for Hungry Hearts Community Meals.